You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We're heading over to the international desk with Connor now. What have we got today, Connor?
Indeed. So, like I said earlier, it's been 29 years. Yep. You can hear me. I'm just double checking you can hear me. 29 years since the Tiananmen Square protest in 1989. And there have been a lot of vigils. There's been huge vigils in Hong Kong and Taiwan held. And there have been a few more moves by the Communist Party against pro-democracy protesters and human rights activists, not just in recent days, but also in the last few years too. So what I thought I'd do is I'd report on a topic that is not really reported by major networks too much, which is a overview of China's human rights record.
That's what we like to do at BFM.
Yes, and how, surprise, spoiler alert, they're not very good on human rights. The 29th anniversary of the 1989 Tiananmen Square protests came and went on June the 4th, marking the anniversary of China's most sensitive political topic. The protests were one of China's first major pro-democracy movements that occurred alongside the anti-authoritarian revolutions happening across Europe in the late 80s and early 90s. Tragically, however, the response of the Chinese government was an intense and bloody crackdown, which shattered any hope that China would experience any sort of political liberalisation. The army was drafted in, and although official Chinese documents state the death toll was 300 with 10,000 injured, declassified documents obtained from China by CIA agents state the death toll to be closer to 10,000 with 40,000 injured. The protests still have a lasting impact on the Chinese psyche, with Taiwan and Hong Kong holding large memorial services dedicated to the victims. The protests are important because they paved a way for Chinese censorship as we know it. Even tighter government controls on radio, TV, press, and the internet began to take shape. Journalists are closely monitored, and discussion about the events of 1989 today are strictly forbidden. Sources surrounding the 10,000 killed are blocked wholesale by the Communist Party on the internet and in bookstores, and the UN Committee Against Torture has repeatedly condemned China for the number of civilians and activists who disappeared, been imprisoned, or faced torture, for sometimes even just being in possession of sensitive material. China, however, maintains that this event was a political disturbance and was caused by dissidents wanting to create a Western-dependent bourgeois republic. They claim that the protesters were against Chinese modernization and prosperity, and that the crackdown was a small price to pay for China's economic development. But this piece is not about Tiananmen Square itself. Instead, in light of several recent high-profile cases, we're going to review China's human rights record to answer one question. Is China rich enough for the New Zealand government to ignore the way it treats the Chinese people? To begin with, I want to start with a statement from Conservative Party peer and former Governor of Hong Kong, Chris Patten, who explains the difference in the way laws are applied to people in China compared to New Zealand or the UK, whilst reminiscing about his negotiations with the former head of the Hong Kong and Macau Affairs Office, Liu Ping.
I remember Liu Ping talking to me about the rule of law, and I said I'd just recently been the British Environment Secretary, and that while I was in that job, you know, a huge amount of the time, my decisions were challenged in the courts by groups of activists or people who didn't like a planning decision or whatever, environmentalists. And I said, we'd go to court, there'd be a judicial review, and I never really knew whether I'd win or not, because the law applied to me, and it wasn't just me applying it to other people. So I said, you know, the rule of law means that we're all subjected to it. So he said, well, we have that too. And I said, no, you have rule by laws, not of law. And I think it's been a very difficult thing for Chinese communists to understand.
Rule by law was indeed applied just a few days ago in Hong Kong as Beijing applied pressure to the Legislative Council to imprison pro-democracy protester Edward Leung for 6 years after he engaged in the 2016 pro-democracy protests in Mong Kok. In late 2015, Causeway Bay Books, a Hong Kong bookstore that sells banned political material from the mainland, saw five booksellers kidnapped at various locations within and outside mainland China. All five resurfaced and four requested all investigations against their captor cease. The fifth stated he was kidnapped by the Central Investigation Unit, a Cultural Revolution era organization who held him in solitary confinement for 24 hours straight until he signed away his rights to a lawyer. He was released on the condition that he hand over a hard drive containing the names of customers at Causeway Bay Books. All five made televised confessions on Chinese state TV that Human Rights Watch maintain were forced. Chinese authorities have increased the targeting of human rights activists and pro-democracy supporters since Xi Jinping came to power in a crackdown akin to the aftermath of 1989. It's been justified through new anti-terror and anti-subversion laws. This is an account of a Swedish activist's experience documented in an extended France 24 report.
Peter Dalin used to head up an NGO in Beijing helping human rights defenders. For this, the Chinese government accused him of subversion and arrested him in January 2016. He's told the story of his disappearance and detention in a book written with other victims.
So you got 11 people, lawyers, some media workers, NGO workers.
All were placed in residential surveillance at a designated place, the black jails of Chinese power. Peter Dalin was deprived of sleep for several days.
Because in here, you're alone. There is nothing. There is no prosecutor that will come to check on you. There is no right to access a lawyer. Your family will not be notified where you are, and they can keep you for 6 months without any judicial process. You have no right to any appeal.
Peter Dalin remained locked up for 23 days. To get out, he was forced to confess his crimes on Chinese public television.
I violated Chinese law through my activities here. I have caused harm to the Chinese government. I have hurt the feelings of the Chinese people. I apologize sincerely for this, and I'm very sorry that this ever happened. Everything that's being said was written down before. The questions and the answers were written down, studied, adjusted. And it was basically me and this journalist from CCTV. We would simply read our lines. She had the paper, I had the paper. She would read the question, I would read the answer.
Forced confessions on Chinese television have been an effective tool in silencing and delegitimizing critics of the Communist Party. Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International both report that thousands of ethnic Tibetans have also disappeared. Equally, Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International both report that thousands of ethnic Tibetans have disappeared since the unrest of 2008. The Chinese government has refused to disclose the fate of those who remain unaccounted for, but individual accounts from Chinese dissidents say it's highly likely they were either killed, are still detained, or were placed into China's Laogai system, or reformation through labor system. The Laogai camps have been mostly used to target the Falun Gong as well as ethnic Tibetans in recent years. The Falun Gong is a religion outlawed by the CCP whose followers are forced to practice in secrecy. Here is an account of an Oregon woman who learned the horrifying truth about where her child's Halloween decorations from Kmart were made.
It all started more than a year ago when she purchased a 17-piece graveyard kit at a local Kmart. She was just about to donate it because it was collecting dust, but decided to use it for her daughter's fifth birthday party, which falls right before Halloween.
And as I opened some of the styrofoam headstones, a note popped out. I opened the note, and it was from this person pleading for help in the labor camp in China, and wasn't sure what to do with it.
The letter, written at the Ma Sanjiao labor camp in Shenyang, northeast China, paints a grisly picture. If you occasionally buy this product, please kindly resend this letter to the World Human Rights Organization. Thousands of people here who are under the persecution of the Chinese Communist Party government will thank and remember you forever. The letter claims detainees work 15-hour days and are paid less than $2 a month for forced labor. It says thousands are held there and that many are persecuted Falun Gong practitioners. And it doesn't end there. It goes on to say, quote, people who work here suffer punishment 1 to 3 years averagely, but without court sentence, unlawful punishment. Many of them are Falun Gong practitioners who are totally innocent people, only because they have different belief to CCPG. They often suffer more punishment than others. China's labor re-education system is notorious for rights abuses. The system is used heavily in the communist regime's persecution of the Falun Gong spiritual practice. In 2008, the U.S. State Department estimated up to half of the 200,000 registered detainees in Chinese labor camps were Falun Gong adherents.
Former prisoner-turned-activist Harry Wu reports that there are over 1,000 of these facilities around China, which engage in torture tactics such as sleep deprivation, forced feeding, beating with cables, and electric shocks. But this is not the worst that China is currently engaged in. There is mounting evidence that China is harvesting organs on the black market sourced from political dissidents. Equally, the World Psychiatry Association reported in 2003 that China was committing psychiatric abuses by falsely diagnosing prisoners with paranoid schizophrenia and subsequently administering heavy tranquilizing drugs and even lobotomies. The WPA tried to access China to investigate but were barred and have not since mentioned the issue. A Wall Street Journal report in 2016 confirmed that false diagnoses, forced sedation and lobotomies were still being administered. On top of this, there is a consistent stream of reports from Tibetan activist groups that forced gathering of biometrics is not uncommon, and from intersex rights activists that forced genital surgeries on intersex people do occur. For balance, the Chinese government maintains that criticism of the Chinese human rights record is being looked at through a bourgeois Western perspective, and that Chinese people do not care about these practices if the government continues to grow the economy and enrich the general population. Likewise, they say they are no worse than the United States, citing Guantanamo Bay and the CIA black sites. They also claim that the freedoms enjoyed in the West lead to the degradation of society through broken homes, a lack of clear direction, and general disruption to social harmony. According to the Communist Party, the success of the population as a whole is greater than the suffering of the individual, and that there is such thing as too much freedom. New Zealand has a free trade agreement with China. We send employees there each year, and our businesses are growing there at a rapid pace. But on the 29th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square protests in 1989, knowing all these human rights abuses listed above, if New Zealand is a country that says that they aspire to respect the rule of law and the freedom from persecution, is it right that New Zealand as a nation stay silent on abuses committed in China? And back to the original question, is China rich enough for us to ignore these abuses and continue doing business as usual?
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly, the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
Topical. Topical heebie-jeebies.
Topical heebie-jeebies, yes. I should note as well, there would have been more interview about, more audio about lobotomies and organ harvesting, but it almost made me throw up in my mouth. It was very disturbing to watch and listen to.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, so any thoughts? Yeah, any questions?
That Halloween costume thing threw me off a little bit. That's pretty...
Yeah, that's something you do have to be aware of. When you buy cheap stuff from Look Sharp and all those other kind of, you know, that kind of plastic made in China stuff, it can be made under dubious circumstances in China. So that's the price we pay for cheap goods like that.
And what do you think what's your answer to the question about New Zealand trading with China?
I think they need to speak out more. I think that the Chinese have gotten away with throwing their weight around against countries like the US and the UK and New Zealand, and that I think that New Zealand needs to grow a backbone and start speaking out about these issues, because there are people suffering in that country. They stand up for the same ideals and rights and values that we do, and I think that they should be supported. They shouldn't be ignored, particularly when all this horrific stuff's going on.
Right.
That's my take on the matter. Yeah. By the way, if the Chinese consulate wants to send any angry letters to me, because I'm sure they've probably heard this and want to anyway, don't worry, I'm not applying for a visa anytime soon.
You're not heading to China?
No.
All right.
Well, no.
That's right.
I'll be done for decadent Western, bourgeois propaganda.
By the sounds of that, I think they'll be far too busy. Anyway, we'll move on. It's 12:32.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.